in the Aztec language, means coyote of the earth. This is a fair weather friendship, though. It usually lasts as long as the summer, when squirrels are plentiful and both species can benefit from each other's cooperation. In winter, however, only badgers can effectively hunt the hibernating squirrels. So coyotes pursue other types of food, including, you guessed it, badgers. This moment of science comes from Indiana University with production support from the Brabson Foundation. Today's program was prepared by Eric Sonstrom with help from William Rowland. I'm Yael Cassander.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bah Humbug Productions, presenting their second annual production of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol at Parkland College. Adaptation by Nick Schneider with original music by Tim Schirmer. Performances are December 5th through 21st. Ticket information and reservations at 351-2528.
It's 2:41. This is a special edition of the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich and his top aide were arrested today on corruption charges following a federal investigation of the Democrats' administration. Joining me in the studio once again, Tom Rogers. He's been with us all afternoon today. Tom?
And we've been following this as it broke, and at 11 o'clock this morning, we had brought live coverage of the press conference where U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald detailed the case against Rod Blagojevich, a case involving political corruption ranging from what was known to have been investigated for the last 3 years. What's known to have been investigated for the last 3 years, which was a pay-to-play atmosphere and campaign contributions, to some of the more recent accusations that had just been uncovered by surveillance over the past couple of months involving the selection of the replacement senator for President-elect Barack Obama and the threats made against Tribune Company as far as their editorial board, which had been quite stringent against the Obama or against the Blagojevich administration. Patrick Fitzgerald opened the news conference this morning by saying it was a sad day for Illinois government and that Governor Blagojevich has taken us to a new low.
The most appalling conduct Governor Blagojevich engaged in, according to the complaint filed today or unsealed today, is that he attempted to sell the Senate seat. The Senate seat he had the sole right under Illinois to appoint to replace President-elect Obama. Let me take you back 8 weeks ago to set the allegations in context. Back 8 weeks ago, we had the following environment. There was a known investigation of the Blagojevich administration that had been going on for years involving allegations of pay-to-play conduct and corruption. There had been a recent trial of an associate of Governor Blagojevich in which allegations were aired where people testified that government Blagojevich was involved in corrupt conduct. And there was an Ethics in Government Act that was pending that would go into effect January 1 of 2009 that would bar certain contributions from people doing business with the state of Illinois. You might have thought in that environment that pay-to-play would slow down. The opposite happened. It sped up. Government Blagojevich and others were working feverishly to get as much money from contractors, shaking them down pay-to-play, before the end of the year. I will give you one example. A month or so ago, a $1.8 billion tollway project was announced. And while that tollway project was being announced, Governor Blagojevich was privately seeking to have a person benefiting from that contract raise $100,000 in contributions. And privately, the government said, I could have made a larger announcement, but wanted to see how they would perform by the end of the year. If they don't perform, bleep them. That's a quote. And the word bleep was not the word he used. After being aware that actually the pay-to-play scheme had taken up greater steam and greater urgency back 8 weeks ago, after careful review, the decision was made that more extraordinary means of investigation needed to be used. After that point, a bug was placed in the campaign offices of Governor Blagojevich, and a tap was placed on his home telephone. And that tap and that bug bore out what those allegations were. I'll give you two examples set forth in the 76-page complaint. One involves Children's Memorial Hospital, a hospital that obviously takes care of children. At one point, the governor awarded funding, reimbursement funding, to that hospital to the tune of $8 million. But he also indicated privately that what he wanted to get was a $50,000 personal contribution from the chief executive officer of that hospital. In the ensuing weeks, That contribution never came. And Governor Blagojevich was intercepted on the telephone checking to see whether or not he could pull back the funding for Children's Memorial Hospital. A second example is legislation that is pending concerning horse racing. There is a bill that I believe sits on the governor's desk that would take money from casino revenues and divert a percentage of it to horse racing tracks. While this was pending, the interceptions show that the governor was told that one person who he was seeking to have raise $100,000 also was working with a person who was seeking that money to have a bill pending. And the governor was told that the person who wanted that bill, from whom they wanted money, was told the following, that he needed to get his contribution in. And the quote was, "Look, there is a concern that there is going to be some skittishness if your bill gets signed because of the timeliness of the commitment," close quote. Then the person told the contributor, "The money," quote, "got to be in now," close quote. And when the governor was told this part of the conversation, his response was, "Good." Shortly thereafter, the person who was trying to get the contribution from the person who had the bill pending suggested that the governor call the person directly, that it would be better to get the call personally from the governor, quote, "from a pressure point of view," close quote, and the governor agreed. As we sit here now, as far as we know, that bill sits on the governor's desk. That $8 million in funding is still pending. In addition to the pay-to-play allegations, which are described in greater detail in the complaint, we also were surprised to learn of an extortionate attempt against the Chicago Tribune newspaper. The Chicago Tribune had not been kind to Governor Blagojevich, had written editorials that called for his impeachment, and Governor Blagojevich and defendant John Harris, his chief of staff, schemed to send a message to the Chicago Tribune that if the Tribune Company wanted to sell its ball field, Wrigley Field, in order to complete a business venture, the price of doing so was to fire certain editors, including one editor by name. In the governor's words, quote, "Fire all those bleeping people, get them the bleep out of there, and get us some editorial support," close quote, and the bleeps are not really bleeps. The defendant Harris tried to frame the message more subtly to get the point across to the Tribune that firing the editorial board members would be a good thing in terms of getting financing to allow the sale to go forward. But the most cynical behavior in all this, the most appalling, is the fact that Governor Blagojevich tried to sell the appointment to the Senate seat vacated by President-elect Obama. The conduct would make Lincoln roll over in his grave. The governor's own words describing the Senate seat, quote, "it's a bleeping valuable thing, you just don't give it away for nothing," close quote. Another quote, "I've got this thing, and it's bleeping golden, and I'm just not giving it up for bleeping nothing. I'm not going to do it, and I can always use it. I can parachute me there," quote. Those are his words, not our characterization, other than with regard to the bleep. The tapes reveal that the Governor Blagojevich wanted a number of things in exchange for making the appointment to the Senate seat. An appointment as Secretary of Health and Human Services, or an ambassadorship, an appointment to a private foundation, a higher-paying job for his wife, or campaign contributions. He proposed a three-way deal, that a cushy union job would be given to him at a higher rate of pay where he could make money. In exchange, he thought that the union might get benefits from the president-elect, and therefore the president-elect might get the candidate of his choice. I should make clear the complaint makes no allegations about the president-elect whatsoever, his conduct. This part of the scheme lost steam when the person that the governor thought was the president-elect's choice of senator took herself out of the running. But after the deal never happened, this is the governor's reaction, quote, "they're not willing to give me anything but appreciation. Bleep them," close quote, and again, the bleep is a redaction. What I should also talk about is that in another event, somebody else approached the governor, and the governor's understanding of this approach was that in exchange for an appointment to the Senate seat, he would receive campaign contributions. And the government's view of what was told to him through intermediaries was that, quote, "we were approached pay to play, that, you know, he raised me $500,000, then the other guy would raise $1 million if I made him senator," close quote. This is a conversation where the senator is describing how he perceived a message that came through multiple hands. His concern, was he offended that he thought campaign contributions were being offered in exchange for a Senate seat? No. He was worried that the campaign contributions would actually be paid. He wasn't against the corrupt deal. He was against being stiffed in the corrupt deal. His quote was he wanted the money, quote, "tangible up front," close quote. He told someone who was his intermediary, quote, some of the stuff's got to start happening now, right now, and we got to see it, close quote. Just last week, he was saying this to someone to make sure that the money was going to be up front, and he said, quote, you got to be careful how you express that and assume everybody's listening. The whole world is listening. I would do it in person. I would not do it on the phone, close quote. That's the governor of Illinois. After an article appeared in the Tribune last week indicating a belief that Mr. Blagojevich had been taped, then a message was sent for him to undo contact with the intermediary on that campaign contribution deal. And finally, we should also note that the government talked about importing himself to the Senate seat for reasons not having to do with the better welfare of the citizens of Illinois. He wanted to do it to avoid impeachment in the Illinois legislature for his conduct. He wanted to do it to have access to greater financial resources if he were indicted. He wanted to do it to see if he could help his wife work as a lobbyist. He wanted to do it to remake his image to run for office in 2016. And he wanted to do it to see if he could generate speaking fees. At the end of the day, the conduct we have before us is appalling.
U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald this morning in Chicago. He also said it's a very sad day for Illinois government. Governor Blagojevich has taken us to a new low. Governor Blagojevich has been arrested in the middle of what we can only describe as a political corruption crime spree. Excuse me, those are the words of the U.S. Attorney in Chicago, Patrick Fitzgerald. And of a fellow who ran for office, the governor, that is, as a reformer promising to clean up state government. I'm Celeste Quinn. This is the Afternoon Magazine, a special edition of the program today. Alongside me, Tom Rogers. He's been with us through the day today, Tom.
And we still get more details on a developing story. We had the governor appearing in the last hour or so before a federal judge who released him on his own recognizance would have to fork over, I believe it was either $2,500 or $4,500 if he failed to appear for his next court appearance. But he is free on bond at the moment. There was no comment that was issued.
He had to turn over his passport.
Had to turn over his passport and his firearm owner's identification card or FOID card. Now, in the last half hour or so, Emil Jones, the current president of the state Senate, sent out a message saying not only that the events of the morning are shocking and the faith of citizens of Illinois has once again been shaken, he is planning on calling the state Senate back to session, to a special session, to pass legislation that, in his words, would create a special election for the U.S. Senate seat. In his words, to help restore the confidence of the people of Illinois during this difficult time. So that is the first time that somebody has brought up the possibility of moving the duty of appointing the next U.S. senator from the governor to a special election.
Special election.
Now, that what kind of legislation would that be? I don't know, because the final destination for almost all legislation is the governor's office. So what happens in that case? That's a question that is right now unanswered, and we will find out that answer in a bit.
Yeah,
but the latest word is that Emil Jones wants to call the legislature in a special session for that specific purpose.
You wonder if they're holding back a little bit here because the business of impeachment would be something that probably won't want to get into.
It would be very difficult, but if the governor doesn't come out and say, I resign, then I would think that the pressure on the legislature would be too great not to go into impeachment proceedings. As somebody had mentioned in an earlier interview that we did, it's not as if we had not thought of impeachment before. There had been some research that had been done on the impeachment process in Illinois. And there may have been some people who have thought about what such a process would be, so they wouldn't be starting from at ground zero and not this completely taking them off guard. So impeachment is still a possibility, but again, a lot of this is all riding on what the governor decides.
Yeah.
Even though he is a governor that faces criminal charges now, he is still the governor. He still has all the power of the governor.
Any word yet from the Speaker of the House, Michael Madigan?
No word as of yet. The Speaker and Rob Blagojevich have been political enemies, even though they are the same party. And certainly they've gotten their digs in each other into each other over the past 6 years of the Blagojevich administration. But the speaker has not commented yet. His daughter, Attorney General Lisa Madigan, has joined the many people that have called upon the governor to announce his resignation. Included in that list are current state comptroller Dan Hines, and many members of the Illinois legislature. And I noticed that Emil Jones's press release does not say anything about resignation or anything like that, or what may happen without a resignation. Very few people have not said the governor should resign. Pat Quinn, the lieutenant governor, who has also not seen eye to eye with the governor at times, has said either resign or step aside.
Yeah, well, today I believe I heard that Pat Quinn said he had not talked directly with the governor since the summer of 2007.
Emil Jones gives you an idea of what conditions, political conditions
right.
are like.
Now, Emil Jones, in his statement, he is the outgoing Senate president. John Cullerton will succeed him. Mm-hmm. Did Senator Jones mention any date? I mean, is this something that they want to move ahead on before the month is out?
This is a five-line press release that says, I will call the Senate back into session. There is no date on this. There is no specifics about where they want legislation to go. It is simply just a call to bring the Senate into special session for legislation to create a special election, which is one alternative that could be done, but it's not a part of Illinois law at the moment.
Okay, very good. Well, there we will leave it. Many questions yet to be answered, asked and answered. Tom, thank you so much for being with us throughout the day today.
And this situation continues to change by almost by the hour, so we'll be standing by in case any further developments happen outside our regularly scheduled program. We'll bring in immediately to you because this is highly fluid. Since the FBI agent showed up on Blagojevich's north side doorstep this morning and placed him under arrest.
AM 580 News Director Tom Rogers.
Earth and sky.
We can put the sensor on the surface of the skin, and near-infrared light will penetrate through the skin and through the fat and into the muscle.
You're listening to Dr. Babs Soller. She's worked for a decade on a wearable, non-invasive sensor that uses light to measure the metabolic rates of astronauts.
What our sensor does is, in real time, it measures the metabolic rate or level of oxygen consumption. It will report that to the astronaut, and there'll be a smart or intelligent system that will help them plan their activities so that they can make sure that they don't run out of oxygen.
Soller works with the National Space Biomedical Research Institute. She said data from this sensor could be used for hospital patients